Hello, everybody. Welcome to Net That Hall Review Show. I am flying solo today, so I would appreciate if there's any sound issues going on here, or if we have any. Hold on, I'm trying to find the right screen. I don't know what screen they use in this thing. I only know when it's there we go. This is what we need. This is the Game Week 10 Matchups Review Show. Unfortunately, Lucien is unable to join us, so I am kind of like sailing this ship solo. There are bound to be some hiccups, so please let me know in the chat if anything is off. Let's just put it that way. We see here the slide with Eddie Nketiah with his hat trick. I think first hat trick of his career, maybe. And our boy Moussa Diaby, who finally turned it on in the second half. So I'm going to go through all of the matchups here. Now, Lucien is way more detailed than I am in general. So and I focus on the predictions. So, you know, I'm going to kind of be flying by the seat of my pants, but I did watch a ton of football. And then I saw highlights for what I didn't see. Thanks for the sound check there, Travis. Glad all is running smoothly here. So we will kind of like get right into it. I am going to try to like add some stats as I introduce each matchup, or like each fixture that as we're reviewing them, I'll add some stats, just to kind of like bring the stats into the tactical talk that Lucien all, usually gives us. But we'll get right to it here. So I do stay under the hour, and let's just do a quick review of game week 10. We have the results there on the left. Crystal Palace 1, Spurs 2, Chelsea 0, Brentford 2, Arsenal 5, Sheffield 0, Bournemouth 2, Burnley 1, Wolves 2, Newcastle 2. Nice match there. West Ham 0, Everton 1, Villa 3, Luton 1. Villa scoring 3 goals at home once again. Brighton 1, Fulham 1, Liverpool 3, Forest 0, and Manchester United 0, City 3. The top 10 scorers are really interesting for game week 10 because there are some highly owned players, obviously Haaland there with the 16 points, and then just some real punts. Eddie Nketiah tops the list with 17, then Haaland at 16. Pinnock, I was a week late in predicting Pinnock, but he gets 15. Diaby with 13, and Mbeumo with 13, Wilson with 13, Szoboszlai with 12. Nice game from him. João Palhinha, I can't believe that. Unbelievable. Should have been sent off. Anyway, 10 points. I just say that because I'm hoping Combs in the chat, and I know he'll be listening later. So had to get my weekly Fulham dig in there just for him. Darwin with 10 points. People are excited about him. And Son Heung-min, of course, 10 points. Hoping all the haulers in the chat here we have did well this week. I think it's like K7 and Catherine and Travis so far joining us. And yeah, we got about 10 people in. Don't forget to hit that like as we get to the first fixture here that we're going to review. And it's that the one on Friday feels like ages ago. Palace hosting Spurs. Interesting this one. 2-1, right? And the slides here says Palace 1.06 net XG compared to Spurs 1.46, kind of backed up by the FDR too, with 0.6 for Spurs and 0.2 for Palace. One thing I liked about this is if we look at the, well, I don't know, this is, I think this was one where we thought the predicted all of the matchups might be flipped in this one, because if we look at net XG and we look at the FDR, it kind of matches up with the XG in the game, right? Spurs had 1.12 XG compared to Palace, 0.6 XG. You know, Palace obviously scoring that goal at the end off of the neat IU handball. How that's not called back, I have no idea. But I also have no complaints since I'm a Udogie owner. Mm. So I think the predictions in terms of the stats were pretty accurate in this one, I would say, given that low XG. I thought it was interesting that Spurs had 76% possession away to Palace and only were able to generate 1.12 XG from that. I think that might be a little bit concerning. They have a obviously you're still playing, like they're still great assets and stuff. But that maybe the double up is too much, for example. Especially this week, you know, they're home, which is good, but they're hosting a very organized Chelsea side. I think from a Palace perspective, I mean, there wasn't much. I wrote here, Mateta could profit from the space vacated by Porro. What I meant there, that was supposed to be Edouard could profit from the space vacated by Porro. It didn't really happen from what I saw. And it just took that kind of that wonder strike off of a handball at the end to kind of turn this one. So GV Subramanian's in the house. He's saying too much reliance on Son for Spurs. You know, I wonder about that because I'm not sure. I think when they don't rely on Son, I think they do rely on Madison. And I think what happened here is like their that right side really just didn't get going. To kind of balance the left side and just Richarlison just didn't do it. I wonder if Brennan Johnson will start the next game, but I guess we'll take a look at that in the matchup show tomorrow with Nima. We're going to move on to the next one here. I think this one was mildly successful to a certain extent, statistically successful. I really thought Tottenham would bring more to the table, to be honest, and more than just a little over 1xG. That was a little bit disappointing. Next one, Chelsea-Brentford. And I'll go to the stats here for Chelsea-Brentford. And this one, you know, Brentford wins 2-0. XG, 2.16 for Brentford, 2.03 for Chelsea. Now, this is a game I only saw highlights of. Course, I saw that the lovely Mope assist at the end, but you know the XG there kind of it's in line with at least net XG, where it predicted 1.72 for Chelsea and 1.59 for Brentford. Kind of a very I love the Porro too, Stewie. I love the Porro as well. It's Halloween here, so I guess it's always Porro season. You know, who am I kidding? So again, I think statistically, NetXG is getting close to the relationship there from an XG perspective. Now, in terms of the tactics, you know, I think Brentford did what we thought Brentford would do. They'd be organized. They'd sit deep. And I said, Brentford need a chaos merchant to disrupt Chelsea's organization. What I didn't predict was that chaos merchant would be Mauricio Pochettino sending Robert Sanchez all the way forward on that, leaving nobody behind, losing a header to 5'7" Mbeumo that Neil Mope carries up the field. I mean, so that, I don't know. I'm sure Pochettino's a little bit embarrassed about that. and yeah, Chelsea's supposed to have the good headed matchup, and you have 5'7" Mbeumo winning headers in midfield. That was pretty bad there. But I mean, Mbeumo is becoming kind of an obvious asset. We'll talk more about him moving forward tomorrow. But you know, I wrote here is Chelsea's attacking data has gone from similar to NFL to similar to Brentford, and that's why it should be statistically kind of even. But I mean, 8 shots off target for Chelsea, 7 blocked shots. So they had 17 total shots and only 2 on target, either blocked. Now, blocked shots can be a couple things. It could be the defender playing, you know, the old Burnley style where they're set up to block shots. And I think when Brentford are in their back three or back five, they kind of set up that way. But also, it could also indicate just poor timing of the, you know, anybody that's in and around the shots. And I think that's also the case. We've seen that with Chelsea, with kind of everybody that's tried to score goals. They desperately need Nkunku, and I think really Nkunku will transform Chelsea, because if they can stay organized at the back, which in general they have been, barring this madness here and this one. Just somebody with some real quality up front could really kind of transform their season. So Chelsea are probably a wait and see for now. People going in on Brentford, despite their fixtures. I think everyone's excited about Mbeumo, and I get that, but I think it's worth waiting till 14 for the fixtures to change. Let's see. There's some comments here in the chat about Poch will probably drop Jackson, play a system that he employed against Arsenal versus Spurs from Stewie. Yeah, maybe. I'm going to look into the matchups today and probably post them, I don't know, tomorrow afternoon or something. So that's something I'll definitely be looking for. I was surprised Jackson came back in. I know one thing Poch could do is play Palmer kind of up there in that area as a bit of a false nine. He's done that with in-game changes, and he's certainly been better than Sterling, but that's not really saying much. And Palmer, you know, Palmer's not your guy to finish. So it'll be interesting to see how Poch handles that after his disaster class at the end of that match against Brentford. Travis telling us that Poch says he will play strongest side tomorrow versus Blackburn. Maybe something to keep an eye out for. I guess we'll kind of know that when we see the lineup. We'll move on to the next one. Arsenal versus Sheffield United. The fixture that we told everybody that they didn't have to totally pile in on. Unfortunately, a lot of people went for a defender. I was certainly one of those. And if you did go for Gabriel, the thinking was right. This season has been characterized by a lot of right process, bad outcome. And this was a case of that. Sheffield United only generated 0.03 XG compared to 2.77 from Arsenal. And Arsenal scored the 5 goals from that 2.77 XG. Again, the net XG and FDR kind of right in line there. Maybe net XG being a little generous to Sheffield United's attack there. But I guess the big surprise was that Saka wasn't really that much involved, except for a little bit of luck here and there. But the XG matchup kind of lines up. The big chances matchup lines up. This was not a difficult one to call, and Arsenal kind of, I think, showed a little bit more despite the heavily rotated lineup. I think Arsenal showed a little bit more about how they can badger a team. Up until now, I think that had been a bit of a criticism. These next few matches after the Newcastle match will be very interesting for Arsenal. And, I mean, my question that I'll be looking at when I write matchups for Arsenal is, will we be able to get away with, say, having Martinelli instead of Saka? This past week I was set up in a way where I couldn't get to Watkins without a lot of difficulty, so I didn't go to him, and I'm glad that I didn't. And I'm kind of in the same boat with Saka. I really want Saka for game week 12, but it might require quite a bit of surgery to get there, and so I'll be thinking of will Arsenal's left side begin to be more creative and explosive with Martinelli back in the side. Let's see. We'll move on to the next one. Goaty stepped in. GM Gabe, have a great show. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for joining. Got 18 people watching. Don't forget to hit that like for us. And I will be dabbing into the matchups. I can't help it. My mind is already on game week 11. So I'll be like hitting on those. If you have any questions on that, specific questions, I will try to get to them. But trying to keep this show under an hour, and I think we're doing pretty good so far. Bournemouth Burnley. Won't spend too much time on this. I guess Iraola lives to see another day. Burnley 0.83 XG, Bournemouth 1.11 XG. And it's kind of backwards from the, I mean, it's close enough where I think we're splitting hairs. Net XG says 1.16 for Bournemouth and 1.38 for Burnley. I mean, that's a pretty close net XG number to the actual XG there. And again, similar with the FDR at 0.4 for Bournemouth and -0.4 for Burnley. So I think statistically we've gotten to a point where the statistical patterns are starting to show, and the metrics are, at least NetXG is coming close to at least approximating the XG, barring variance and all that, of course. And most of the, and it's usually in line with the FDR. The times where they differ, that's when it gets really interesting. Let's see. Bournemouth right side zonal pops above all others. Three predicted big chances should spell good news for Solanke. So yeah, like some of those predictions, obviously they came to fruition, right? Solanke didn't score, but Bournemouth right side did pop. Antoine Semenyo got the goal. So I think that one hit that even despite highlighting the wrong player there, I thought it would be the tip of the spear. I didn't think it'd be the actual Semenyo there, but that happy with that call. The Bournemouth's right. I think there are some teams that are really showing weaknesses, and Burnley's left-hand side is one of those, for example. I think Luton's left-hand side is another one of those, for example. And tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about Salah. I mean, Haaland is the obvious captain for game week 11, but I think there might be a case for Salah, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to take the case myself, but I'll probably try to make it tomorrow. I won't spend too much time on this one. Hopefully Iraola survives because he was home to Burnley, but he goes to the Etihad this coming weekend, so we'll see how he manages to survive that one. I guess expectations are low, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. Yeah, moving on quickly from this one, hopefully nobody has any assets here. Wolves Newcastle 2-2. Really interesting game. Unfortunately saw Pedro Neto go down with an injury. Newcastle 2.19 XG and Wolves with their two goals off of 0.89 XG, which is interesting. So again, what we're looking at here, Newcastle 2.19 XG, net XG 2.31. So we're super close again to that XG. And I wonder if net XG, just a reminder, NetXG is an experiment. I taught myself stats during COVID. I had to repeat probability and statistics in college. So this is a huge experiment, and I'm learning with you guys as we go along. And it seems like NetXG might be turning into a little bit of an XG predictor, even above the XG matchup there, which it doesn't exactly line up. So again, statistically, looks good, looks right on. The FDR's right on as well. Newcastle 2.5, Wolves negative 1.6. Not sure what that translates into when we're talking about raw stats, but it seems to have come to fruition. The only thing that didn't is really the result. The stats were right on, but the result wasn't. I wrote Gordon's pace and shiftiness versus an isolated Kilman who struggles to quickly turn his hips could result in him and Wilson being the target of the right zonal matchup. Now, it resulted for Wilson, but not so much for Gordon. So that wasn't exactly right on. And Neto, you know, Neto going down is unfortunate and really interesting from a tactical perspective to see how the team adapts. Check out FPL Black Wolf on X. And he has a good write up on maybe some different ways Wolves will set up moving forward. I'll try to bring that into the show tomorrow. But Callum Wilson, I mean, you see it right now. You're seeing on X there's a lot of chatter about Darwin Nunez, who could easily be benched next match. This is like I've never seen a player kind of like draw so much. I have so many people just want this person to be a good asset or be a starter. I mean, if you're going Darwin Nunez over Callum Wilson, I think you're a little bit crazy there, but that's just me. We'll talk about more detail about that one tomorrow in the matchups show. See, Lionel Hichan. The problem is Neto's the creator for the team, right? And Chan has been clinical in his finishing, but mostly from chances created by Neto. If they don't have that creator, I don't know. Do they move Cunha and use Cunha as the creator on the right-hand side? Does Pablo Sarabia play there? Does Bellegarde? Maybe Bellegarde goes to that right-hand side. Chan stays on the left. It'll be interesting to see. We'll look more into like the tactical matchup tomorrow on the matchups show. But it's such a you want the person on the right-hand side playing for them. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll discuss that a little bit more. West Ham versus Everton. West Ham 0, Everton 1. Let's see. Taking a look at the stats here. Really, pretty interesting stats. It's 0.82 XG for Everton, 0.66 for West Ham. And I think a little reminder that there was a lot of buzz about Bowen, and rightly so, because the matchups or the fixtures are good. But West Ham are not a front foot team. So they won't try to get those extra goals. Sometimes they will struggle like this, depending on their opponents. Here we have, in the slide, we say agreement in the metrics that this match should see goals. Wrong about that one. We didn't see goals. Net XG West Ham 2.03, 1.56 for Everton. Kind of like way off, and the FDR was right in alignment there. West Ham 3.1 and Everton 3.0. So we saw this as a very attacking game, and it kind of didn't turn out being that way. Let's see. Well, you know, Mohamed Kudus at the 10 with Paqueta on the left. I think David Moyes is making a mistake there, to be perfectly honest. I think Paqueta needs to come back into the 10 and put Kudus on the wing. I know he can play there, certainly better than Paqueta, but Paqueta isn't a winger that will go kind of like get into the corner, go around people and get into the corner. He wants to stop the ball. He wants to create Bausa and all of that. So I think there's a tactical kind of switch they could make there. And then one thing we did mention, let's see, I think I thought I mentioned Calvert-Lewin. Wouldn't surprise to see McNeil on the right and Harrison on the left benefit from the right zonal matchup. That didn't happen. Jack Harrison was kept on the left. And I guess looking at it, seeing that Cresswell started there, maybe it makes sense to get Jack Harrison's kind of like energy and pace on that left-hand side. But I mean, I would definitely watch for Calvert-Lewin. And the Dwight McNeil Calvert-Lewin connection, I think, is really going to start hitting. And keep your eye out. If you need funds, I think Branthwaite is a fine fifth defender. If you're looking to get some funds, maybe you need funds to bring Saka in eventually or something like that. Branthwaite could help you out there. Everton had thrashed, GV. Everton had thrashed Brighton last season. Next game, we both are playing each other. So if we remember that match, I think it was like 5-0, maybe 5-1. I think Everton scored 5, and that was at Brighton too. And if you remember what Everton did, and it was shocking that De Zerbi didn't. De Zerbi, sometimes his arrogance blinds him sometimes. The fact that he didn't pick up what Everton was doing was absolutely criminal. I mean, Everton just sat in a deep shell, won the ball, long ball to the left to McNeil, who would link the play forward, goal every single time. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that again. I don't know if that Zerbi will fall for that again. So we'll see how that one plays out. I'll take a look at it a little bit more in the matchups show and when I write the thread. Let's see, where are we? Next one. The Diaby game. Aston Villa hosting Luton. Aston Villa 3, Luton 1. 2.28 XG for Aston Villa, 0.48 XG for Luton. Again, look at net XG, 2.75 predicted, or net XG for Villa, 2.28 XG in the game, 0.9 net XG for Luton, 0.48 XG in the game. So again, quite close there. The FDR kind of right in line with that, supporting the statistical analysis here with 5.6 for Villa and negative 1.2 for Luton. Nice that cash got subbed in this one. Metrics unanimously favoring multiple goals for Villa. That came to fruition. That wasn't too difficult to predict. Watkins could turn provider for Diaby, who will likely have more space. Like Morgan's giveaway last week, I like Diaby as a standout pick for Aston Villa, as he can hit Luton's spacious left half space. that 100% came to fruition. I was super proud of that because it was everybody was piling in on Watkins, and I had a bit of a differential view. Now, does that get turned on its does that prediction get turned on its head if Watkins buries that first big chance he got from Cash? Maybe. So I think there's also in every prediction there's a little bit of luck, right? So I think that's where the luck in my prediction came from, the fact that Watkins missed that big chance. And after that big chance, he did turn more provider in the second half. I mean, but you could see Diaby as early as I think the 15th or the 20th minute when he was getting frustrated, he was yelling. And I think Emery finally saw this. It happened in the previous game as well. And they started to feed Diaby more, which was good to see. So I think there will be more balance between the two rather than one hauling or the other hauling. I think we're going to start to see just a little more balance that also, like, from a tactical perspective, adds unpredictability to the Villa attack. So I think Diaby won't be as good as asset as he was this week, and Watkins won't be as bad of an asset as he was this week, and Diaby won't be as poor an asset as he was the two or three game weeks prior, and Watkins won't be as good as he was during those weeks. So we'll see, but we always get something interesting from Emery, certainly at Villa Park, where they haven't scored fewer than three goals all season. Next matchup. Let's see. Next fixture here is Brighton versus Everton, and I'll bring up the stats if I can find it. No, Brighton versus Fulham. Sorry. There we go. 1-1, 1.43 XG for Brighton, 0.71 for Fulham. 1.43 XG for Brighton, net XG 1.5, so 0.07 off. 0.71 XG for Fulham, 1.17, so about 0.4 off there. FDR kind of in line with that, 4.3 for Brighton, 0.5 for Fulham. So net XG did see a goal here for Fulham, maybe saw a little bit more for Brighton than they were able to deliver. The metrics kind of like disagreed in this, and the FDR was the one that seemed to be off here with a 4.3. It was a little bit high given what we saw in the game. So NetXG kind of like takes this one. Let's see. Brighton do generate about 2 XG per home game, but Fulham actually only concede about 1.5 XG away. And that's what accounted for that. Chapalinha is obviously a big part of that. And I wrote here, losing a creative left back could spell trouble for overall creativity for Brighton. So I think we saw that, but if Estupiñán is back, Brighton I think are transformed, and Mitoma becomes the asset we were all looking to get maybe a few weeks ago. We were all maybe looking at Mitoma around this time, game week 11, for obvious reasons. So that might be back. Mitoma might be back on the menu, I think, if Estupiñán is also back. That's what I would say about that one. Let's see, anything else here that stands out? Not really. I guess, so again, mixed reviews on this one. NetXG a little bit more accurate. We'll move to the next fixture. If we have, I feel like I'm going a little bit quickly here. Yeah, I am going super quickly. We're not even 30 minutes in. I'm at the last fixture. So if you guys have questions, or you want to chat a little bit about the upcoming game week, you want some early thoughts on some transfers you're thinking of, we can go to a little bit of a Q&A if you want. We got 20 people here in the live chat. 12 of you have smashed the like. So let's get the other 8 on board, and then we'll just hang out for a little while. Maybe get out of here at 45 minutes. Mariner will give me a gold star for being concise in these reports. The Derby. Manchester United hosting Manchester City. Really muted stats, as we talked about last week. Manchester City, let's see. Obviously, the game ended 3-0 for City. City generating a whopping 4 XG in this match, net XG here at 1.6, so a ways off. But the FDR as well, FDR was kind of in line with the net XG with the 1.4. Manchester United I don't know where they got the 0.95 XG from, but they did, which is pretty close to the net XG of 1.14. Yeah, the predicted XG for this match at 1.8 for Manchester United, 1.3 for City. Again, I think there's some errors in that data. We'll see how it comes in this week. And it makes sense. Like Manchester City's left zonal is going to pop all season. So that's something that obviously came to fruition as well. What I'll say, like, let's just talk a little bit about Manchester United without... I'm going to try to not insult people. But Erik ten Hag, his reasoning for playing Johnny Evans at left center back and benching Varane was because when Maguire's not great at left center back when pressed. And then he also played Lindelof out of position at left back, having Reguilón on the bench. I mean, Reguilón's not a great defender, but he is a left back. Lindelof's not a left back, right? And you don't bench your best center back in order to play your worst center back out of position. No, your worst center back in his best position and your second worst center back out of position. I'm sorry, United fans. It's rough. I'm not going to make you feel any worse. Manchester City, by contrast, Grealish coming back. They're getting healthy. They're looking more on the front foot. What I would say about Manchester City is, I wrote here, Manchester City will likely attack Dalot and force Manchester United's back line to shift hard. That happened. That came to fruition. Alvarez is a standout after playing less than 30 minutes midweek. Didn't happen. So the Alvarez thing is really interesting. And I think we're going to see him less consistent as we have this season as players get healthy and get more minutes. Foden, for example, one of those players. Grealish is another one of those players. Even John Stones. I would keep your eye on John Stones because he may start inverting. He may start spelling Kyle Walker and inverting into that. If you look at the average position map there, the one all the way on the right after the substitutions were made, where look at that space. This was in the game against Brighton, of course. That space between Foden, number 47, and Haaland, number 9, I can see John Stones getting into that right half space and really being a nice defender a little bit in the future. Once we see this kind of like start happening, I wouldn't be surprised if John Stones becomes one of the best defender picks. Nice one, B's looking at Stones as well. So yeah, right on. Just someone to definitely have on your watch list. And when their fixtures turn, if they play against deep blocks, especially, I think Stones could really be in and around it. The other thing I'll say is Manchester City's headed matchups may be the stats may be a little low moving forward because Julian Alvarez is delivering lovely corners. I think he had 11 in this one. I was listening to the FML FPL and I think they were talking about this. Like his deliveries are so good and nobody's getting on the end of them. But they do have the defenders to get on the end of them. So keep an eye out for that. If Pep doesn't maybe work that in a little bit more and we start to see some headers from these defenders as well. But my eyes are firmly planted on John Stones. Let me just say one more thing about United. I mean, look how isolated Kyle Walker is for City. I mean, you have Kyle Walker's... He's a great defender. He's fast. He's strong. But when he's so isolated and so advanced, to not make Marcus Rashford kind of like the focal point of a counter-attacking game against City, I mean, again, it's just I have no idea what Ten Hag is doing. I really can't explain it. I'm gonna try when I write matchups and when we do the show tomorrow, but that, I thought that was an obvious matchup for him to exploit, and he didn't really do that. We're approaching the end here at about 35 minutes. So if you have any questions, let's see. Drop them in here. Drop them in the chat. I'm going to scroll through and see the ones that you've left there already. I'll get to this in just a second. Let's see. Get to the thank you for the haulers in just a second. For now, let's see what kind of questions we have in here. Okay. GV. Paliña at less than 5 million is a decent fifth midfielder. I don't think so. Paliña will rarely get forward. He's used so much to protect that back line that and they kind of need him to do that, to protect the back line from shots. Like they don't have many shots conceded at home, for example. That I think he just kind of got lucky with a return there. If you're looking at around the 5 million bracket, I would definitely go Palmer. I think Palmer could sometimes play a false nine. He'll be in and around the 10, 9, false nine. Even when Nkunku comes back, I think Palmer can play as support to Nkunku and probably shift it. He's perfect support for Nkunku. He likes to shift into that right half space, and Nkunku likes to play in the left half space. So as Nkunku pulls defenders to that left half space, Palmer could find some space there. I think they'll play well together. Let's see. Next one here from Stewie. Stewie Bryan, Saka and Matoma are talisman, but playing in wide positions. Should we question their FPL value? I don't think wide position. Yeah, I mean, I think we should question their FPL value, but more in terms of what are some replacement options versus question their value in and of themselves. I think what Matoma's needed, he's missing Pervis, Estupiñán. He needs Estupiñán up the wing, dragging defenders and creating spaces in between the outside back and the center back. And then he hits that space on the diagonal with his dribbles. But he doesn't have it. They don't have an attacking left back right now. And that completely destroys everything that Sedby tries to do. That Sedby system without an attacking left back really just doesn't work. And that's what we've seen happen. So I expect if you have Matoma, I certainly wouldn't sell. Now, if you're looking to buy, I think that's more interesting. Our very own FPL Mariner wrote a really good statistical thread comparing Matoma and Mbeumo in the next 5 game weeks. And Mbeumo comes out on top. So that's something to kind of like consider. Mbeumo playing wide and centrally, talisman and on pens. He may be a better asset than Matoma even from now. So he has a good matchup this week, and then Liverpool and Arsenal next. And I think Liverpool are improving defensively. So those aren't great. Not the ideal time to maximize Mbeumo, but and then Saka, his ownership is so high. He's such a talisman. I don't think he necessarily is in a wide position, but he usually receives the ball wide and then comes inside. And against deep blocks, if they get Ben White involved, Ben White will overlap Saka, pushing him further inside. And he is on pens, even if he is very generous in giving them to other players. So can you cover with Martinelli is the question. And I don't know the answer to that right now, to be perfectly honest. All right. Who was a reasonably good player from Man United in this derby? Onana. I just saw this. Yep. Stewie agrees. Onana. Can't believe I just said that, but yep. Let's see. Elron, given Iraola's Rayo were famous for attacking the big teams, do you think Bournemouth will have a go at City? Oh, man. I want to say yes, but I can't, because we haven't seen that system in the Premier League yet. Iraola hasn't been able to kind of even approximate that system. So I'm going to say no. I think City, and with an improving City with Grealish back, Bowden and maybe solidifying that right side, Stones coming back, this full, I think City is starting to become an animal, like that monster again. So I think they're gonna totally demolish Bournemouth. And that Ola side, that they were famous for doing that with an aggressive counter press and kind of like just pack everything in midfield and then explode wide. And I don't think Bournemouth haven't shown the kind of tactical know-how to do that, certainly against a passing team like City. And if Bournemouth do end up miraculously crowding that midfield, then it's a long ball to Haaland and they're done. So I don't know. I don't think so. Not this time. Next question, Clint. Udogi, Burn, Cash, and Gehi as my defense. Looking to bring in Tsimikas this week. Take out Udogi or Burn. Two free transfers. Roll other transfer to get Saka next week. Good question. It's either Udogi or Burn. I think it... That's really tough. I think I would take out Udogi. Has the injury. Not great. Burn, I think Newcastle are a better team. I think they're a better defense. And I think Newcastle will be more likely to, especially in the tougher games, the games where, you know, you expect them to concede. I think Newcastle will set up more on the counterattack, more defensively solid. And they're so lethal on that counterattack that and Burn has headers. It's tough, but I think I would lean to keeping Burn because I like that team defense better than Udogi. But I wouldn't fault you for either one. Let's see, two free transfers. Roll other transfer to get Saka next week. Yeah, definitely. If you can roll one transfer into next week, do that. JP out for Mutoma or Mbeumo. JWP out for Mutoma or Mbeumo. Honestly, I want to say Mutoma, but I think I have to say Mbeumo. I'm gonna say Mbeumo. If this was game week 12 and we had already seen Estupiñán back on the field and we've seen Brighton kind of return to what they were, then I might say Mutoma. Mutoma now and then Mbeumo in 14. I think it also depends on what your plans are for 14. If you don't really have any set plans for 14, maybe go Mutoma now and Mbeumo then. So make this like rather than a 1 week JWP out for one of the two, make it a multi-week kind of proposition there. Give it a broaden the lens a little bit. Catherine A, she says, thinking of not getting Saka now as he doesn't seem so involved. So I think Saka will be involved. I had the same thought, and I thought that he wasn't informed after the Community Shield, and I got punished for it, not starting the season with him. If you can get Saka, I guess, Catherine, tell me what your alternative plan is. Like, rather than getting Saka, what would you do? I'm not totally against not getting Saka, and like I said earlier, I may be one of those people not getting him, but... that's just because I can't afford him. If I could afford him, I would probably definitely, there's a contradiction, probably definitely get him, but I'm going to roll with that. My kids say that sometimes, like, they always sometimes do something. I don't know. I guess I'm down with that language. Let's see. What do we have? What else do we have? Clint, is Saka a better asset than Mato in the next five? Yeah, I think Saka's a better asset than Madison. If I had the choice, if I could have either one, I would probably have Saka. I would probably have Saka and Son rather than like Madison and Son. Maybe, you know, eggs in different basket kind of thing. Last question we have here. Is it too late to do share or Udogi? Out for Tsimikas? Not at all. I don't think it's too late at all. I think Robertson's supposed to be out for a long time. Tsimikas, that kind of value. Liverpool are looking better defensively. Their midfield is looking better. Van Dijk is playing better. I think Tsimikas is the obvious way to go. I'm considering that myself this week, to be perfectly honest. And I was probably going to get rid of Cher so I could have an extra bit of cash in case I do want to go up to Saka. So I don't know. That was my consideration there. I guess that's it. No more questions here. Look at that. We got almost 30 people in here. Thank you so much for joining. A bit of a shorter show today since it's just one person. Obviously, the show goes longer when there's a when there's a dialogue rather than a monologue. But I feel like we had a dialogue in the chat, so that was fun. It was nice to have some time to connect with you all. Thank you for joining us, joining me, as it were. And actually, wait a minute, I want to put the let's do a hauler thank you. I don't get to read these out very often, so happy to do so here. Big thank you to our haulers. Here's our super haulers first: David Harrison, Zach, Harbor Boy, Daddy Bot, Greenback Golf, and FPL Robbie. And our haulers: Dread FPL, FPL Craig, Podna, Kevin Rose, FPL underscore Scott Saffer, Connor Hunt, Donny FPL, Oscar Arias, FPL Teacher, Blonde, S. Scotters M, Tom Gorsuch, Tavindra Raj, Lindsay O, FPL DGBoy88, Akshay, Dom, Claire, Catherine, William, Harry Not Kane, Neil, Sebastian Koo, Benjamin, FPL Rubber Ducky, Niels, Nick Khan, Big Mike, FPL Discomfort, Karen, General Zod, the lady one, the something Game Week Lady Street Press. I never remember that one. It's too small on my screen. Jack M, FPL Planner. What's up, Tien? Jamie Baker, Brett, Mark Bond. We got Elron, Lucian, FPL California, Thingamabob, Romfrosk, and Big Mike. Thank you all so much. Thanks for the chat. And this is always my pleasure, guys. Really, it's so much fun to do. So thank you for the attention. Thank you for the platform. And I will see you all mañana. Bye.